The rest of our service this morning is going to be a liturgy based on a hymn called "And Can It Be?" I'm curious, how many of you are familiar with this hymn, one way or another? Okay. Somehow, it didn't make it into all of our hymnals, but I would suggest that what is contained in this hymn is a deep and powerful message about how God is reclaiming his kingship in this world through Christ. And Can It Be, as we see in your bulletin, is a hymn written by Charles Wesley. You may know him from hymns like Hark the Herald Angels Sing, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, many other hymns that you are familiar with he has written. And this one he most likely wrote right upon his conversion to true faith. You see, John Wesley and his brother Charles were both ministers and traveling preachers and doing all kinds of ministry. But there came this evening where they both realized that they had been doing ministry, but they hadn't truly experienced the grace and the love of Christ. And from that moment, John Wesley is famous for saying he felt his heart strangely warmed by the gospel. And from that moment on, their ministries, their lives were totally different. And so this is a hymn probably written just after that moment in the lives of John and Charles Wesley. We are going to be reading scriptures, and I will be giving a very short reflection before we sing each verse that kind of helps frame each of the verses and what's being said there. But I hope that you can really worship to this song. We've printed out sheet music for you so that if you want to follow the notes, you can. The words are also printed in your worship folder. They're also on the screen. So there's all kinds of ways you can follow along. But we want you as best as possible to be able to really worship and experience God's love and grace through this. Think about the hymn. It's kind of a simultaneous story of Jesus' ministry in the world, in his story, you know, coming on Christmas and dying on the cross and the resurrection and so on. But it also depicts how that story is lived out in our lives. And that's what baptism tells us, that we are united with Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection. And so for a lot of us, at some moment in your life, you came to a point where you realized, wow, God's love and grace and mercy and hope and all of these things we've talked about this morning are so much more than I ever realized. And that's the process of Jesus becoming king in your heart, in your life. So I hope as you worship, as we worship to this song, that you experience that. Kevin, maybe will you play through a verse before we get into the first reading and the first reflection. Susan's going to help us by singing through the melody, but we're hoping that, especially by like verse 2, it's not a solo as much as a congregational worship singing experience. And so with that, Kevin, would you just play through our melody of the first verse, and then Donna will read, and we'll go from there.
For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still, and that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us.
From the beginning, we human beings, created in God's image and loved beyond our imaginations, had chosen our ways over God's ways, tried to shape the world to our desires rather than God's will, and chosen gods of our own making rather than the Creator of all. And yet, in a startling display of love, the Creator turned toward us. And even when we drove him to the cross, God turned the cross into a throne to which all might come to receive mercy, love, and new life in the kingdom of God.
The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength.
When God turned toward us, we didn't recognize him, because his path to reclaiming God's kingship and throne wasn't the way of violence and force that we were used to, but the way of the cross. Even angels and prophets, the scriptures tell us, couldn't quite grasp God's strange design for saving the world. God's way was the mysterious way of Christ crucified, foolishness to the world, but the very power and wisdom of God for us.
Explore.
Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Christmas morning, the scriptures tell us, we see God incarnate in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, helplessly lying in a lowly manger, a long journey from the Father's almighty throne. Who could have possibly known that this child was God? He seems to lack everything we know about God. Except for one thing, the very essence of divine DNA. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, he had emptied himself of all but love. He became a servant to our helpless race. What immense mercy that has come to us.
Darkness and in gloom, prisoners in misery and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Their hearts were bowed down with hard labor. They fell down with no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom and broke their bonds asunder. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron.
God doesn't become king through coercion and force like the kings of the world, but through grace and liberation. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. The freedom of captives has been proclaimed. He entered into the dungeon where slaves are in oppression and addiction and fear and sin and death to free his people. He shined the light of grace and liberated us by the power of love. And we then are simply to follow our King out of the dungeon and into the light of a new day. If you're able, would you stand?
is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and of death. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit that dwells in you.
Having seen that the true nature of our King is love and grace, we live no longer in the fear of death or judgment, but in the freedom of being fully, eternally loved. The great mystery of our King deepens as Christ beckons us into His throne room, clothes us in His own royal robes, and crowns us as kings and queens to lead God's world into freedom and peace. Our motivation then is not to do enough to be accepted by God, but to share in King Jesus' rule of love and grace, knowing that through His death and resurrection, our King has won the battle over sin with mercy, prevailed over violence with love, conquered death with life. And it is all a gift, a mysterious, merciful gift of divine and eternal love. Be seated. Jesus is the world's one true King. And it often seems a bit scary and counterintuitive to live under His reign. We are used to kings and queens, including ourselves, who tell us what we want to hear, only to enslave, addict, and lead us astray. Jesus is a King who tells us things like, put God first, look out for others as much as you look out for yourself, welcome children. That wasn't in my script, by the way. Stop condemning other people. Don't worry so much. Welcome the poor, the sinner, and yes, the refugee. None of these things are things we really want to hear. But in listening, in embracing the kingship of Christ, we are freed into deep and lasting joy. A peace that doesn't come and go with changing circumstances. And a purpose that brings life and healing to ourselves and others. This is the choice we are each and every one of us faced with today and every day. Who is my king or queen? Whose rule will I embrace? Who holds my life and the world and our destiny in His hands? Who is worth trusting with my life and the lives of those I love? here, we don't claim to have all the answers, or even to know 100% what this answer means for our lives. But I and the church do claim Jesus as the answer to these questions, as our one true King, and as the world's one true King. And I hope and pray that each and every one of you and I continue on a journey to understand more and more what that means. And I hope if you have questions about this hymn, or these readings, or these reflections, or what it means to have Jesus be King of your life and to embrace Him as King of the world, I hope and pray that you will talk to me after the service or sometime this week, give me a call, because that's what we're about. Enthroning Jesus in our lives and seeing His love reign in the world around us. Let's pray. Almighty King, gracious God, Holy Spirit, take your rightful place in our hearts. Look over us, care for us, lead us, guide us in the ways of your kingdom, of peace and grace and truth. And may we, your sons and daughters, be ministers and ambassadors of your kingdom to everyone we meet, to the ends of the earth. Amen.